Welcome to the Professional Ag Marketing Podcast. If you want a deep dive into the ag markets and risk management strategies, your search is over. Come here after every Friday to get your weekly commodity recap. Trading commodity futures and options involves substantial risk of loss and is not suitable for all investors. This is your host, Mike Miner. Let's get started. Today is March 15th. I've got Jeff with us here today. How's it going, Jeff?
Good afternoon, Mike. Happy to be here.
Good deal. We are going to talk about some fun stuff today. We're going to talk about the cattle market.
It's been an interesting week in livestock, been an interesting week in cattle. Kind of a halfway interesting week in the beans, not?
Sure has been. I mean, these grain markets here, soybeans bounced up against $12 yesterday, kind of failed to break through there pretty hard, closed at $11.91, so put on a cool 70 cents pretty much since that low we put in at the end of February. Seen some short covering after last Friday, having a record net short position on soybeans. And on the corn market, 471 on the close today. That one, we've retraced about 30 cents back or so to this week's high from the low at the end of February. So pretty good little rally here. Still not exactly fantastic levels compared to what people are expecting, especially ahead of the growing season here. But, seems like grain guys are wanting just a little bit more. We just finalized crop insurance decisions here as of today, and created a little bit more of a short position for ourselves, Jeff. And now, you know, it won't take much of a rally to probably really start to see some risk getting off the table for these grain guys.
So and I think the bean market was all about that this week. I know that it was yesterday you had that big update going. Obviously, it'd been nice to kind of maintain that, and that thing failed pretty hard, and it couldn't help itself to be lower most of today. I think on the backside of a pretty disappointing day, and from a technical chart standpoint, being you can see quite a bit of buying action coming in here. Hopefully, we're building on something a little bit and keep getting liquidating that massive short position they've got going on.
Definitely, and one of the things we don't get to talk a whole lot about here on this podcast is the wheat market, and China's been incredibly active recently. They've canceled another batch of U.S. Wheat export shipments here, and that's added to an already record number of cancellations that have weighed on really Chicago futures greatly, Jeff, and that's helped hold this grain market back pretty hard throughout this week as we tried to rally. And those Chinese cancellations are really reaching towards like Russia to try to take advantage of some of their cheaper exports here. China's also canceled the sales from both France and Australia this week as well. So going forward here, I think that's been a pretty big talking point, and we'll see what how much wheat Russia has left to sell, what Chinese stocks are looking like at this point for grains specifically, and then really kind of start to turn over talking about U.S. weather and maybe Brazil even here a little bit now too with their moisture index a little bit subpar going forward. But let's talk about...
It's starting to be a topic again, isn't it?
It definitely is.
Yeah, we promised the listeners some cattle talk, Mike. Let's not send them way hungry.
Not way hungry. We are going to talk about cattle, and I want to talk about demand pretty specifically here, Jeff. But just give me a quick synopsis of the cattle industry and kind of like a one-minute time frame of what's going on.
Yeah, I think you want to start with the kills when you start this conversation. And, you know, everybody knows we're getting into shorter and shorter supplies as 2024 goes on. That's been well advertised, right? So the marketplace is trying to compensate for that, and it's super interesting to watch. And we've just slowed these kill speeds to an absolute idle here. We're going to be, you know, 580,000 again here, I think, this week. That's going to put us about 5% lower than where we were a week or last year at this very same time. And that's been true here for about 3 weeks in a row now. So I'm not sure that you can kill much fewer animals than that in a given week, Mike. So that's going to be interesting to watch. I know there's some people that have taken some Fridays off, and obviously the reduced kill hours throughout the week and the small Saturday. But one thing that's starting to really be glaring to us is watching the weights. Weights are up absolutely huge in the last 2 to 3 weeks, and they've completely they've completely moved away from their normal seasonal. Their normal seasonal is obviously to work lower through these spring months as the supply situation gets tighter and tighter. We've completely reversed that. We've put in 3 data points now with higher weights. And that's, I think the trend there is just, you got to recognize that and you have to say, hey, we are not killing enough cattle. Now, that's probably all on purpose, right? The producers are very willing to keep them around for another week or two, put some more weight on them. Margin over feed cost is absolutely huge, of course. Packers are very interested in stretching out this supply as long as they can, trying to keep a lid on the cash market as long as they can, filling in what they think is going to be a hole further down the line. So this, we're going to talk a lot about this very subject this entire year. And I think it could be the reason, you know, if we put a top in here someplace, the first part of 2024, major top I'm talking about in prices now, I think it very well could be for this reason that we just kept pushing animals back and making them bigger. So that's, I think, a real quick synopsis is how we see the industry. It's all about the supply side, shackle speed. That's a big portion of what we're looking at right now. Maybe no new information there, as far as how many cattle are available or anything like that. But, you know, you mentioned the demand side, and that's getting really interesting also. You know, we looked at, all right, we're killing, you know, depends what time frame you're looking at, 4 to 5.5% less animals.
And that's been the major talking point, right? It's been supply this whole time, at least, that people have been wanting to focus on, it seems like. You can see it coming.
And justifiably so. That's a big move, right? Yep. 4 to 5% less cattle. That's huge in the worlds that we live in.
Yeah.
The problem is there's a bunch of other stuff going on, too, that's helping combat that increasingly shorter supply. And we talked about
two major things, right?
We got weights, and imports.
And imports.
Now, the third one, which absolutely are not seeing any of it right now, is demand. Yeah. So we've got, January information out for imported meat, and it's through the roof. And you look at, okay, we got fewer cattle being killed in January, but they were a little heavier.
Yep.
And then you pull in the imported meat, and it's like,
so what's your net number then?
Right, you've produced more meat, or the U.S. consumer chewed through more beef in January than what they did a year ago, but yet prices were considerably higher.
So meat available to U.S. consumer, not any different really versus last year.
That's exactly right. Yep, a little bit bigger picture, because January's a bit of an abnormal month. Yeah, we're going to average out similar. Now, that's right now. I do think that will probably drop, but so then you say, well, that's not a big deal, but flip over and look at some of these meat prices. Select meat, 302 this afternoon. Choice up over 310. Those are very impressive numbers for March, and we're also seeing similar type of activity on the pork side. So, you look at some of the products that historically you would contribute to nicer weather. The middle meats on the beef, there's nothing super special going on right there. Select meat, grinding meat, trim, that's all through the roof. I think that is very possibly attributed to just warming the weather up well ahead of schedule. You look over in the hog side, you look at ribs, for an example, I think is a good one. That thing's through the roof. I think there's a lot of these products that are performing very well that would be associated with kind of warmer temperatures, and usually we'd see these spikes come in May. I think we're seeing them in March today.
So what does that mean for meat prices kind of longer term than when we look forward, Jeff?
Well, the way I look at it is, we're getting some additional demand today in February and March, and that demand is still, it's a good guy. So it's like you eat an extra burger today, it's not like you're going to, eat fewer of them in May and June is my opinion. So the way I would look at it, say this is demand. It's all additional demand. It's helping us keep everything very current, especially in the hog world. It's helping us, extend this, summer market, if you will. That's super important when you think about profitability over a 12-month time frame. I would just say when you get to May, don't expect that same huge bump. If you got $310 cutout now, don't assume it's going to go to $345 or $350 as soon as we get to May.
Okay.
I think there'll still be a bump there. It's just going to be smaller than normal. Over a long period of time, when you get all done with this summer, I think you're going to look back and say, hey, demand was very good. Maybe it wasn't quite as great as maybe some of what the futures markets are starting to look at today, especially on the hog side. But we're going to get through and say, hey, this was definitely a good guy. Really got us started early there in March and continued to be pretty strong through the summer months.
That's a good point about demand being good and warm weather being good at this time of the year. Is just kind of like gravy on top. It's just an added bonus. We're not going to have to make up for that later, really.
I think so.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because even if it gets really super cold compared to normal in like May, June, or July or something, I mean, it's still pretty nice. You're going to have demand in that time frame no matter what.
Yep.
Makes sense.
That's our... We'll find out when it all shakes loose, right? But
yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike.
And thank you to all our listeners. Please reach out to us at ProfessionalAgMarketing.com. Check out our other podcast as well, Professional Ag Marketing, that's released every Friday. Trading commodity futures and options involves substantial risk of loss and is not suitable for all investors. See you next time.